Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This morning, as we continue with this series, Love Covers, we're going to talk about love your enemies. Ouch. As I said, it's a bit of a deep dive this morning. God's prepared us for this day, though. He's prepared us. It's been a process. But this morning, we're going to talk about love your enemies. Did Jesus say love your enemies?
Yes.
He did. Does that mean that we should take note of what he said?
Yes.
Love your enemies. We're going to find out, how do you do that? Why would he ask us to do that? What right have they got to receive from us? Well, I could pose this question. What right did we have to receive the love of God in our lives? There's the answer. We had no right either. We weren't worthy either. We weren't deserving. It wasn't something that we did based on our self-effort or our self-righteous position. It was based on a loving, merciful God that looked to earth and said, they need help. So, Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 38. Let's put some context around this. This is about midway through the Sermon on the Mount, the pretty amazing sermon that Jesus preached to thousands. The Sermon on the Mount, a lot of amazing spiritual truths came through that sermon. And about midway, he says this, verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite or strike you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks of you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. Now, before we go to the next verse, that's old wine. That's old wine. He's about to introduce new wine. And new wine can't go into old bottles, can it? New wine's got to go into new wineskins or new bottles, because the old in a new wine in an old will destroy the wineskin. So what he just spoke then was, you've heard that it's been said, old wine, law. But I say to you, remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration? And of course, you know, Moses and Elijah and Jesus and, you know, Peter, James and John, an amazing experience. But when Moses left, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the law restorer, when they left, it was Jesus alone with the disciples. And what did God say? This is my beloved Son, hear him. New wine. Hear him. That's very, very powerful. Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the law restorer, they're gone, left is Jesus, and he says, hear him, grace and truth. So he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. Then he gets to this point, verse 43. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, we know about loving our neighbor. We talked a lot about that in the last few weeks. And we now know who our neighbor is, don't we? Everyone's our neighbor. I wonder how many this week had some neighbor experiences. We certainly did. When we get a chance down the track, we might give testimony of that. He says, and hate your enemies. That's what's said. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans, meaning the tax collectors, do the same? And if you salute, that means embrace or greet your brothers only. What do you more than others? Do not even the publicans, the tax collectors, don't they even do that? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that means to be mature or to be of full age or to have completeness. So Jesus has spoken something. Now, I just want to hold your place there, but just flip over to Mark very quickly and chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 21 and 22. Mark chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, "No man also sews a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that fills it up takes away from the old, and the rent or the tear is made worse. And no man puts new wine in old bottles, else the new wine does burst the bottle, and the wine is spilled. And the bottle will be marred, but new wine must be put into new wine bottles." Go back to Matthew. You can't mix law and grace. It can never be mixed. We're either under the law, which means you must fulfill all the dictates of the law, or you're under the grace of God. Now, the church age, or the dispensation age of the church, is grace. It's the dispensation of grace. God has revealed himself through Jesus, who came full of grace and truth. Not surprising then that Jesus is saying, you've heard it said, love your neighbor but hate your enemy, but I say to you, he's bringing them into a new place, because what's going to be transformed in their life, this new creation reality, they have to have a new wine bottle to receive the new wine. It's a new wine with a new bottle that receives it. That's why someone out in the world that hasn't said yes to Jesus doesn't have a recreated human spirit. They can't receive the new wine of the Spirit. They can't until they have a vessel to receive it. We have the new wine in new wineskins. Now he says, with this, I'm going to show you what I want you to do. And he says some things that are hard. It's not easy to love an enemy. An enemy is an adversary, a foe, or one that's hostile to you. That's an enemy. An adversary, a foe, or one that's hostile. That word love, agapao, that's how it's pronounced. It's not agape love, it's slightly different. It's agapao or agapeo. And it's the love in a social or moral sense. So he says, love your enemies. Then he gives us three expressions of that. So he says, I want you to love your enemies. And you think, well, how do you love your enemies? Well, the first one is, he says this, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. That word bless is to speak well of or to praise. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you think in your flesh that you can speak well of and praise someone that curses you? Good luck if you try. You'll never achieve that in your flesh. But you don't need to, because there's new wine in new wineskins. There's new wine in new wineskins. This is what this is all about. The old wine was, you've heard it said, the new wine is, but I tell you. So he says, firstly, I'm going to show you what love looks like. I want you to love your enemies. So do this first. I want you to bless those that curse you. That means speak well of them. Now, that's a choice. But can I say, if you want to walk in the fullness of the blessings of God, you do well to obey the word, and so would I. He says, I want you to bless. That means I want you to speak well. Does that mean you can say, Father, that person did me wrong, but I'm just going to pray a blessing over them. I pray a blessing over their health, over their finances, over their family. I pray, Lord, that whatever's causing them to fall out of fellowship with you or with me, I pray that your spirit will bring peace to that person. You could pray that. Or you could say, I hope they rot in hell. You could pray that too. But if we understood and knew what hell really is and what it means for those that reject Jesus, you'd never pray that for anyone. It was never intended for man. It was intended for fallen angels that disobeyed God from the heavenly realm. It's blackest darkness forever. Permanent torment. Remember the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, these flames. Come tell Lazarus to, you know, dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames. That's hell. And then hell eventually will be thrown into the lake of fire. Eternal separation from God. So who would want to wish that on any human being, even though they may outwardly deserve it? New wine in new wineskins. Then he says this. I want you to do good. That word do good means excellently. It means to do it nobly, well, or commendably. And he says, I want you to do good to them that hate you. Not just have a disagreement with you. I want you to do good to someone that hates you. That means they despise you. Now, I don't know too many people in my world that despise me. They might not agree with me, but I don't know too many that despise me or have a hatred for me. He's saying, I want you to do good for somebody that hates you. New wine. New wineskin. This is Jesus' words here. Now, this crowd would have been listening to this and says, really? You want me to love the Romans that oppress us, that beat us now and then, those tax collectors that rip us off, and sometimes we don't even have food to feed our families because they're doing wrong? And his response is, yes. But there's a blessing attached to this. And this is what we need to understand as a church. If we want to mature in the things of God, we do it God's way. But he goes on further. So he says, do good to those that detest you. And then he says, pray, intercede. And who are we praying for? Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, this is interesting. That word despitefully use you is to insult, to slander, or to falsely accuse. I want you to pray for those that assault you, that insult you, that slander you, that falsely accuse you. I want you to pray for them. And you think, why would I want to do that? New wine. New wine. New wineskin. We're not the old nature. The sin nature in us is gone. We don't want that old nature to rise up and dictate the way our flesh responds to people. We want the Spirit of God to rise up in us so that we can bless and do good and pray, because that's what love looks like. He's giving us an example of how love operates. He's showing us something. He's revealing love in action. So love is bless, do good, and pray. That means, think about this. Being around people that despitefully use you and persecute you may be harmful to your well-being. Would you agree with that? That's why he says pray for them. I'm not saying, you know, you need to be right in the face of somebody that despitefully uses you and persecutes you, because that can be very damaging. But he's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to pray for them. I want you to intercede for them. I want you to love at a distance. I want you to get before me and say, Father, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. That's what Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And we heard a few weeks ago, that's what, you know, Stephen, the first martyr, said, Lord, don't hold this to their charge. What's he saying? Don't hold the fact that they're about to murder me against them. And who was he saying that to? Saul of Tarsus. Paul the apostle holding the garments, consenting to his death, and a short time later, did God have an encounter with Saul? Well, Stephen's prayer is going to be credited in heaven for that. Don't hold this to Paul. Don't hold it to him. Let him go. Release him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Lord, who are you? That was it. Saul got saved. God, the amazing things that happen when you are willing to pray for somebody that is hard to love and care for. You need to rise above that because you've got new wine in a new wineskin, and it allows you to say and do things that you cannot do in your flesh. And God never intended you to do it in the flesh. He wanted you to do it in the spirit. So that's what he says. I want you to bless, do good, and pray. Love at a distance. Intercede for people that are struggling. And of course, we read the rest. He says, I want you to do this, and you will be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now let's look at this from another witness. Go to Romans, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Go to Romans chapter 12. Paul now speaking. Very similar. Very similar. So we don't mix law and grace. There's never a time where that's going to work in the things of God. It's the grace of God that enables us and empowers us. And the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to allow us to do this very thing. Go to verse 14. Verse 14 of Romans 12. And I'm going to read from the New Living. And it says this. Bless those who persecute you. Does that sound familiar? Well, of course it does. He's repeating the words of the Master. Bless those that persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Isn't that interesting? And don't think you know it all. Can I say this? We've got to keep a humble heart before God. The moment we think we've arrived in our knowledge, and the day you say to yourself, I know that. Oh, what he's preaching, I've heard that before. Be very careful with that. Be very careful with that. We don't know anything. Anything that we know in this Bible is by God's grace and revelation to us, and he gives it to us in little bits and pieces so that we can understand. We're not ready to receive full revelation in one download. None of us are. So you may hear scriptures preached over and over and over again. You think, I've heard that before, I've heard that before. If you've got that coming out of your heart, have a check, because it might be a prideful spirit. Because we haven't heard it all. You can read the same scripture over and over and over again, and God will give you fresh revelation. Who gets that? Absolutely. You read something, you think, I've never seen that before, Lord. I've never seen that before. Things I've never seen before. And it just comes to us because we're willing to open our hearts. So, Father, when I'm reading this word this morning or this evening, thank you, Lord, for fresh revelation from heaven. I want to know more about this. I think I know it, but I want to know more if I don't. That's a humble heart. That's a heart that's open to the things of God. So we want to be that. And we'll keep reading. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say this. Verse 15, be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with each other, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with evil, do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Now look at this next verse. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Who's our neighbour? Everyone. Everyone's our neighbour. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. We can't control others. Do we agree? Now, from a legal standpoint, if you've got certain people in positions of authority, they can intervene and take control over a situation. That's not what that's talking about. We can't control others' behaviour. But can we control our response to the behavior? Yes, we can. That's the new wine in the new wineskin. That's what he wants us to do. He says, as far as possible, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Live in peace with everyone. Now, who benefits from that? One, they do, but who else benefits? We do. Isn't it nice to go to bed at night in peace? Not tossing and turning because you're thinking about what that person did or didn't do to you. Always, you know, thinking about how can I get a payback? What can I do to fix this situation? And all the while God's saying, are you going to give it to me? Are you going to give it to me? Are you going to give it to me? Are you going to cast your care? And you just ignore that and you ponder and you ponder and you fret and you worry and you start feeling ill. And you think, well, God, where are you in this? I mean, I'm living for you and, you know, this shouldn't be on me. God can only do so much for us. God allows what we allow. God will allow what we allow. If we want to have an attitude toward people in the world, whether we think they deserve it or don't, God will allow that. He'll allow you to go down and he'll allow you to do things that harm people. But it'll come at a price. You say, why would God let me do that? God will let you do whatever you want to do. God's not the devil. God's giving us free reign in the earth. He's given us a free will to make choices. But with free will comes great responsibility, does it not? So we can do whatever we want to do. You can have an attitude toward people and you can feel good about it. But the Spirit of God will never put a blessing on you for it. You can do it. This isn't an easy series. But I tell you what, this series is going to mature us so we can move into the next phase of what God has for us as a church, because the Church of Jesus Christ in today's world better be ready for what's coming. Are we ready? We're getting there. And the readiness I'm talking about is, are we willing to make this word our final authority no matter what it says and no matter what it costs us? Because if you're willing to do that, if you say, well, the word says it, that's it, then you're in a good place. You're ready to move on into the next phase of your journey. But if you're still struggling, well, you know, I still struggle in my flesh, then put your flesh down. He's given us the ability to do it. New wine, new wineskin, get that old dirty wine out. It doesn't need to be there. We can control the flesh nature in us because we've got the Spirit of God indwelt in us. Now keep reading. Verse 19, dear friends, never take revenge. Ouch. Ouch. Never take revenge. Leave it to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. Ouch. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads, which means you'll cause them to feel remorse. You'll cause him to feel remorse. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Now that last verse is very, very significant. Don't let evil conquer you by getting out of God's love walk. Because the moment you get out of the love walk, you're going to be conquered with evil. Now we don't want that. We don't want to be conquered with evil. And that means overcome. We don't want to be overcome because a door opens up. And what it does is it can get in and it can taint the new wine. We don't want that to happen. He says, don't let that happen. In fact, go with me to 1 John. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. So that word to conquer is to subdue or to overcome, to prevail or to get the victory. So conquer and overcome, they're interchangeable in meaning. Now 1 John 5, verse 3, it says this. The Apostle John, when he wrote this letter to Christians, and he said, for this is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, they're not burdensome. For whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Are we born of God?
Yes.
All right, if we're born of God, the Bible says that we overcome the world. It doesn't say that we're in the process of. It doesn't say one day you'll arrive. It says we have overcome the world. Now, you either believe that or you don't. If you believe it, you'll walk in its promise and its victory. If you don't, the enemy's going to play you. You've got to believe what the word says. You know, well, yeah, but I don't feel an overcomer. I keep making mistakes. Well, welcome to the walk of Christianity. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are also under the same temptation and pressures like you are. Everyone is under press in this world. Until we get to heaven, then we can rest. But in the meantime, it says, for whoever is born of God overcomes, that means conquers the world, and this is the victory that overcomes or conquers the world. What is it? Our faith. Our faith. Faith works by what? Love. Faith works by love. If there's no love, your faith is damaged, it's shut down, or it's ineffective. Don't play with this. Don't think that you can get out there and pray a Holy Ghost prayer because you feel good one morning and you're harboring something in your heart towards someone. The Spirit of God has been impressing you, but you won't let it go. If you think that your faith is going to produce something, you're kidding yourself. And so would I be. Faith is critical. The love walk is what drives faith. That's why he says, love your enemies. I want your faith to work. He says, bless them. I want your faith to work. He says, do good to them. I want your faith to work. And then he says, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute. I want your faith to work because I want you to call down things from heaven so I can transform the earth. He wants our faith to work, but our faith won't work if love is not driving our heart. Now, you can just take that to the bank. And there's no give. There's no ground. The Bible has no ground on this. This is solid. There's no ground in the Bible. Well, you know, if I feel like it, Lord, I will. Don't let that one play out. That's a devil's playbook, and it'll get you into a lot of trouble. A lot of Christians let their soul realm dictate their spirit. Don't do that. Your spirit is the real dominant you. Your soul realm's got to submit, and then your flesh submits to that. So the spirit is what declares, and that soul realm has to come into line. And you can tell your body what to do, and you can tell your mind what to do. I'm not thinking those thoughts. Devil, mind, you come into line with the word of God. Tell your body and your mind what to do. That's how this works. Keep reading with me. Who is he that overcomes the world? Verse 5, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, we are absolutely overcomers and conquerors because we believe that he's the Son of God. And this is a victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. We put faith in Jesus. That makes us overcomers. Now we have the ability, new wine, in new wineskins, to love our enemies, to bless, to do good, and to pray. We have the ability. If we choose not to, then that's a choice. But that choice will come at a spiritual price for anyone who doesn't walk in this. That's a choice. Now, have a look at John 16. Don't you love his word, the clarity of his word? His word speaks to us so that we can, you know, walk in this victory. So John 16, hallelujah, and I'm going to read from verse 32. He says, behold, the hour comes. Yes, now is come that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. That means pressure, anguish, burdensome, trouble, persecution. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, the reason why that is because we are foreigners in a land that we don't belong in. We're in the world, we're not of it. We don't belong here, we belong in heaven. We're connected to the heavenly family. We're citizens of heaven. We're in a world that doesn't want us here. The believer. Why? Because God of this world is the devil. Of course he doesn't want us here. He doesn't want us infecting the world with Christianity and the kingdom of God. So in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. That means he's conquered the world. If we're in him, we're conquerors. Amen? We're conquerors because he's a conqueror. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Without me, you can't do anything. But if we're connected to the vine, the life flow comes through us and we're fruit bearers for his kingdom. And it all starts with love. Love is what produces the fruit. Hallelujah. Now go with me then to James. James, just build slightly on this. James chapter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. James chapter 3. I want to read from verse 13. So James chapter 3 and verse 13. James says this. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. That word conversation, the King James, means behavior or manner of life. So let your behavior and manner of life reveal something in meekness and wisdom. Humility and wisdom. It's interesting that they go together. There's always going to be wisdom where humility exists. Wisdom and humility. If you want the wisdom of God, then there's going to have to be a humbling before God. God's not going to fill a proud heart with his wisdom. So where there's meekness, there's going or humility, there's going to be wisdom. Then it goes on to say this. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And the fruit of righteousness begins with love. So a couple of things here that are important. That wisdom of the world, it's demonic. So, you know, the Bible says that this wisdom, which is envying and strife, which is jealousy and contention, that wisdom is not from above, but it's from the world. So that's demonic. It's called wisdom, but it's devilish. And we don't want that. So when there's contention and there's jealousy and there's strife, you know the enemy has a footprint in that. So we have to keep that out. Called wisdom. But God's wisdom always brings peace. Look at verse 17 again. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Well, of course it's pure. It's from heaven. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom of God, the word of God, which we're to obey, because Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. If we follow the wisdom, love will flow. Love will be able to deal with any situation, whether it's an enemy, whether someone's done you wrong, whether someone despitefully uses you or persecutes you. It doesn't matter whether they hate you with a disdain. God's wisdom and peace and mercy and grace and love will overcome. That's what allows us to live in peace. Remember, if it's at all possible, live peaceably with everyone. If it's at all possible within you, in other words, you can do your part to live that way no matter what people are doing to you. This is not easy. And this takes maturing in faith because you've got to dig deep in faith to do this. This is not something that's going to happen because you go to church on Sunday, hear a message and walk home. I can tell you right now, if I was to get everyone this morning that could give me a testimony of how many opportunities they've had in the last 6 weeks to get out of love, I'd be inundated. Because the enemy wants to steal the word out of the heart. The moment you have this, the enemy's going to bring people across your path and you go, oh, I've got to be loving to that person because Paul said something and he keeps ringing in my ear and I'm just going to have to do the right thing. That's okay. That's okay. But it's the devil. He wants to get you off that foundation of love so you just bump along, you know, doing your Christianity. Just bump along on a log, you know. You take two steps forward and three steps backward because he gets in your ear and you think, yeah, no, you're right. I shouldn't be that quick to forgive that person. Don't be like that. Don't do that. Let that humble heart receive God's wisdom because they work together, humility and wisdom, and love. It produces fruit. It's the fruit that's going to have an impact. You've got to remember, we need to give God something to work with. Prayer's powerful. Prayer's powerful. People get saved. Now you think, oh, I had that random person get saved. Somebody's praying. Somebody is praying. Someone is praying and moving heaven toward earth for an individual. You can be praying in the Holy Spirit and you might be interceding for some random person in Bulgaria or Spain or Russia or Ukraine or right next door. You wouldn't know. But the Spirit of God uses that because there's a burden on your heart. You've got that intercessory burden to pray. And when it's gone, it's lifted, you stop. And you think, wonder what that was about. Well, one day in heaven, Jesus will say, have a look at that one over there. Come over here. Remember that day? Oh, you remember that because you're showing it to me on a reel. Ah, that was for that person. And Jesus says, thank you for praying. Thank you. Because you're open to the things of the Spirit. That's coming out. Well, when something's going on in your life which is causing you to harbour offence or envy or strife and it is happening, you don't hear from the Spirit that clearly. Those things are hard to pick up because you've got all this voice going on the inside. One's the Holy Spirit saying, get right, deal with it. The enemy's saying, don't you dare. Don't you let go of that. You've got every right to give them what for? What for what? You know, you need to give them a piece of your mind. And the Spirit of God says, no, give them the mind of Christ. They don't need a piece of our mind. They need Jesus. They need him. They need his word. But that requires a heart of love that's not going to be moved by what your body or your flesh is telling you and me. That's this walk. It's not easy. But was it easy for Jesus? He's a model son. Wasn't easy for him. They tried to kill him multiple times. I mean, his own disciples had no idea what he was about. They couldn't work it out. It was John the Baptist who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The disciples had no idea what he came for. They were hoping he'd be the one that would, you know, cause an insurrection and bring down the Roman government. That's not why he came. He came to reveal the Father's love and be a sin sacrifice. That's why he came. So, hallelujah. Keep moving. Have a look at 1 Corinthians. Just go back a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this, and I've shared this before, this will help us understand why it's challenging when you're dealing with people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, whether it be loved ones, whether it be family members, or it may be a situation where you've got a partner that's very close to you that has no knowledge of Jesus. Have a look at this. Paul says something, and it's good for us to know this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, just coming back to James 2 while you're turning there, you know, it talks about, you know, there's that envying and strife. It results in confusion and every evil work. That word confusion means instability. It means commotion or a state of disorder. Well, is that in your life? Instability, a state of disorder, you know, commotion. Is that happening? Is that in your family? Is that there? Well, there may be the devil's footprint playing around there. We don't want that. We want peace and love to rule in our homes. We want the peace of God to be there. And we bring that out. But look at 1 Corinthians. Verse 12. It says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So because we have the spirit, we've got the new wineskin. Because we've got the spirit, we can now know the things that are freely given by God. We can know them because we've got the spirit. We've got a recreated human spirit. You know, never open your Bible and say, I don't understand it. Ask the Spirit of God to give you understanding because you've got the Spirit to know all things that's been freely given. Don't ever say, I don't understand the Word of God. Say, thank you, Father God, you give me understanding of your Word. Your Holy Spirit has been sent to teach and lead and guide me into all truth. That's what he'll do. Look at the next verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Remember what we said in James 3, the world's wisdom is envy and strife and confusion and every evil work. That's the world's wisdom. Look at verse 14. This will help us understand something. But the natural man, that's the unborn again man. That's the one that's still got that sin nature. It's that carnal nature of man. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man doesn't have a new wineskin. So the new wine can't be poured in. There's no new wineskin. It's an old nature. It's a sin nature. And when you speak to someone and you talk about the love of Jesus, if you get a response saying, that's dumb, well, it says it's foolishness. Don't be surprised by that. Keep loving him. Keep blessing him. Keep doing good. Keep praying for them. Because the natural man can't receive spiritual things. They're spiritually discerned. They don't have the Spirit of God. Until I got born again 34 years ago, the Bible was dead to me. But when I got saved, I had a new wineskin, new wine started to come into my heart, and I got revelation after revelation after revelation of this word because I was recreated in spirit. I was alive in Christ. We're dealing with people out there that aren't. So we don't want to be too hard on them. They live like the devil. They act like the devil. They have foul mouths and they have behaviors that you may not appreciate, but God loves them. And he wants you to be the conduit of that love. He doesn't want you to say, well, if they're going to act like that, good on them. You know, every time they come into my house, you know, they drop the F-bomb. Love them. Pray for them. And see if there's God will give opportunities for them to change. It's amazing what love does. You know, oh, I don't want to hang around people like that. Maybe God wants you to. God wanted Jesus to hang around thieves, singers, sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, outcasts, everyone that was hated by the locals, hated by the self-righteous, but that's exactly where God wanted to be to reveal his love. And they embraced it. They embraced his love because it wasn't fake, it was genuine. You know what? I'm going to smile just to get you into the church. No, I'm going to love you because I know you need Jesus. It's not a gimmick. You know, we don't want to do anything which just gets numbers in. God forbid. He sees our heart. We want people to come in to hear the gospel because they can connect with a living God that can transform their lives forever because this word will take out the old and replace it with the new. Amen? Amen. And everyone should have that opportunity. Every one of us. And I'll keep reading. But the Spirit, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That means we have the mind of the Anointed One. We have that. That's in us. We can think like he thinks. We can speak like he speaks. We can act like he acts if we choose to. If we choose to. It's a choice. Love's a choice. And I think we've been picking that up pretty seriously from heaven in the last few weeks, that it's a really good choice to follow. This will change your life. This will remove your sleepless nights. This will remove all that angst you have about an individual. When you give it to God, it's not a boomerang because it's not coming back. It's a stick. And when you throw it, it's going to go into a very deep lake and it's going to sink. Gone forever. See your forgetfulness. As the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Well, if God can remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west and they'll never meet, if he can do that, then what's our excuse? What's stopping us from doing likewise to somebody that did us wrong? The only thing that's holding us is that you're enjoying the moment of holding it. And you might think, gee, that's a nasty thing to say. No, it's true. That's the flesh. That's the soul realm, wanting to just hang on to something because we have a right. What right? We've been purchased with a price. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. I mean, what right do we have? The right we have is to walk humbly before him and in obedience to him. That's the right. But to hold something that's outside of God's word, that's a risk. And what it does is it opens a door. All right, very quickly. Just go very quickly then to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll start winding up this morning with this. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read from verse 7. So when we're not loving, our prayers can be hindered. It says this here. It's talking about husbands. In the same way, you husbands must give honour to your wives, treat your wives with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, obviously in terms of physical, natural, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of a new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers be not hindered. Ouch. There's a word there for all of us, isn't there? Treat her as you should, so your prayers be not hindered. So if we're not loving our husbands here, if we're not loving our wife like Christ loved the church, can our prayers be hindered? Well, I'd say absolutely 100% yes, they can. You're believing for that new job opportunity, that new promotion, that new car, that extra income coming through because you've been sowing great seed, but you're not loving. You think that's going to come through? That's not how the kingdom works. You know, we don't want the blockers to get in the way. We want to make sure that we're doing what's right in his sight so our prayers are not hindered. This word. You know, the one thing about the word I love is it teaches, but it also corrects. And it builds. And we want to grow on it. Hallelujah. And of course, we keep reading there. I'll just leave it at that particular one. Oh, no, down to verse 12. And it says, verse 8, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, keep a humble attitude. There it is again. Don't repay evil for evil. There it is. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Three times now we've seen that in Scripture. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word's established. Take it to the bank. God is speaking through his word where to love, where to bless, where to do good, and where to pray. We do it that way, and God will move. And it says, don't retaliate. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. He will bless you for it. So if we do what he says, he's going to bless us. Because he says, if you want to enjoy life and see happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those that do evil. So time and time again through Scripture, we're seeing the same truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So failing to walk in love will compromise our spiritual confidence toward God. I've got the time to read it now, but 1 John 3 talks about that. You know, if our heart condemn us not, You know, we have that right place with God. But if we have that condemnation, it's because we may not be walking this walk that we should be. I mean, if we have that love walk, you know, in a good place on the inside, we go boldly to God's throne of grace because we know there's no hindrances to us receiving the things from God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus gives us access to the Father. But if we step out of love, the name is of little value to us. We can only use the name of Jesus as we walk in love. When we step out of love, it breaks fellowship with the Father, not relationship. Fellowship. It breaks fellowship. And with us, we break fellowship. And it weakens our faith and makes the word almost a closed book to our hearts. I want to finish on that this morning. When we constantly stay out of this love walk, if we're out of it and we know we're out of it and we're not correcting it, then what it does is this book, this word that we speak and we preach and we read, it almost becomes a closed book to our heart. Because the love of God is going to keep us open to the things of the Spirit. And that's why, you know, this message is so important. I mean, this message this morning has been very direct and firm, but it's also very liberating. Because if we follow this, we are untouchables. I said it last week, we are untouchables in the kingdom of God when it comes to the satanic realm trying to take us out. You stay in this love walk, no devil in hell can bring you down. Because we're conquerors, we're victors. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. Our faith is where our victory is. And we are conquerors because of Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with that this morning. Next week, I'm going to talk about when love grows cold. The Bible makes reference to it in Matthew. We want to have a look at that. Because that's going to happen at some point in the future of the ages. The love of many will grow cold, and we want to know why. So we won't be included in that bunch. Amen? Let's pray.